I'm going to talk to Brandon Gurney about this. Brandon Gurney from the Deseret News. Brandon, do you think, did you know that the field was a little bit more wet in 2007 versus TCU and that I was having trouble planting?
Yeah. It was all about you back in those days. I do remember that. And I remember those allegations with it being wet.
Didn't Gary Patterson mention it in his postgame?
Yeah,
remember that?
Someone mentioned it. Someone made a big deal out of it. And
it was Gary Patterson. Well, it was true. It was wet. It was wet.
It was very wet from what I understand. But I think that kind of just galvanized that TCU team to really get down to business. And they handed it to BYU the following year. I remember that. But that was a great game.
Well, you got to bring that one up, Brandon.
Sorry, I shouldn't have brought that up, but I thought the 2006 and 2007 TCU games were some of the best BYU performances in recent memory, in my opinion. I just remember John Beck in 2006 just fitting the ball in the tightest windows you'll ever see and just shredding that defense. It was impressive, very impressive games, those two games.
Indeed it was. And, indeed it was. I always like, so in 2006, our ginger beat their team, and then we were able to dominate their ginger the next year in 2007.
The key was the gingers.
So I'm telling you, man, it's always, you got to focus on where the ginger's at on the field.
Wow.
Yeah, see? Well, I just got deep on with you, didn't I?
That ginger, though, was the big difference in 2008 because he got hurt a couple weeks before. Mm-hmm. We weren't sure if we were going to see him. We were getting ready for Jackson. That's who we'd been seeing in film all week. And then all of a sudden,
Ginger Tornado came out.
The Ginger Ninja comes out and starts torching us.
I like Ginger Ninja better. Brandon, tell us what's going on in your world.
The Frank Jackson article that I referenced about almost 2 weeks ago just got published, and I don't think much has changed on that front. It is interesting that I think that's worth discussing, and something significant that's happened since is Quincy Lewis getting hired at BYU. And and I've heard talk that this may hurt BYU's chances, actually, and I've heard talk that it enhances them. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic what happens there. It's real interesting going forward because you're going to have a really large portion of BYU's team that was basically brought up by Quincy Lewis. And it's why I maintain that BYU's best chance at him might be upon returning home from his mission when DJ's Haas is in the program, Eric Nika, and that was a big reason why he went to Lone Peak in the first place, is because he really admired TJ Haas and Quincy Lewis's program, and the family decided to move to Highland, and he's really benefited from that. I think they'd agree. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic there. I don't know if it helps or hurts BYU. I think we'll find out, but there's still a lot to play out on that front. I don't believe he's anywhere close to making a final decision just based off the conversation. His eyes are kind of still wide. He's kind of still taking in all the accolades and just the recruitment, and maybe even a little slightly still a little stunned by it all. And I just think he's getting his bearings, trying to find out what he really wants. But I think what I took away is BYU still a player. You use the word decommit. It's such a negative term. It's just like, I decommit from you. I don't want you anymore. It's done, and that's not the case at all. And just talking to people around the program, it would have been better to find his commitment to BYU went soft. It's kind of in between there because he's still very much interested in the program, and BYU's still on the table. So we'll see how that plays out. What plays to BYU's advantage is obviously the mission thing. It's a very, very LDS family. They had about every picture every Mormon picture you can think of just around their house. It's a very, very strong LDS family, and that's going to play to BYU's favor. There's members in this family that want him at BYU. He has a sister that went to BYU, and so we'll see how that plays out. And it's going to be a huge boon if BYU is able to retain his services. So, anyway.
Brandon, did you get any sense of a timeline for Frank and when he's going to make a decision or what he wants to do before he makes that decision?
He wants to decide before the season starts, and given that basketball season doesn't start till November, I could see him holding to that. He needs to make some more visits, and that's going to begin in earnest. I think what could be a real breaking point is his dual unofficial visit to Duke and then to North Carolina. He's going to take that visit in June. Duke's very dominant on his mind right now, and why wouldn't they be? Defending national champions, the most decorated coach in college football, and Coach Krzyzewski, of course they are. And if Duke offers, it's hard for me to believe that I could easily see him committing on the spot to Duke just because of the grandeur and just everything Duke has to offer. But I don't know if he knows that, and you don't really know that until you see a program up close and really get to see it firsthand, and that's when recruiting really begins to start. And is why he's just kind of wide-eyed and just taking it all in, is just because he hasn't visited all these schools. So we'll see what they do. I'm sure they do a very good job entertaining recruits down there at Duke and in North Carolina, but we'll see how BYU is able to offset that. What's not working for BYU's advantage is just recent history. Is Frank Jackson's looking at a BYU program that's struggling in the West Coast Conference to make it into the NCAA, only to get bounced in the first round, not even the first round, but the play-in game. He's going to want more than that. And he wants to a guy of that caliber, just kind of sense, he wants to make serious runs in the NCAA tournament. I think Coach Rose has credibility that he can coach teams to do that. He obviously has done that before. And I think the players that are coming in kind of bring up that credibility a bit, just because Frank has played with those guys. He understands how good T.J. Oz is as well as anyone. And just the prospect of just joining them and just doing something unique at BYU is something BYU really needs to sell. And I think it's a good, potentially a good sell, and it has a lot of backing just when you look at all the parts BYU's going to have and how Frank Jackson can implement those parts.
Brandon, did you get a sense for how because I think one of the things that has made him wide-eyed and kind of in awe of his recruitment is that these big schools coming in and recruiting him. But did you get a sense for how these big schools will feel when Frank tells them that he's going to go on a mission? Do you think that changes anything for those schools? Does he know that yet?
Yeah. That was the real interesting part about it. I kind of went into the interview with the mindset that he was going to tell these big schools and that he was kind of short-circuiting a lot of opportunities by having solid mission plans, because I've known the family and I know Frank I wouldn't say well, but I do know him and I know what kind of people they are. And I know that Mission Central in his life. And in my opinion, that's going to make schools like Duke and Arizona and all these big name schools just run, because waiting 2 years for a guy, even a guy as talented as Frank, oh, we're not doing that. But according to Frank, he says they're fine. They've studied out the issue, and they say, no problem. Yeah, we'll wait for you, whatever. And his father, Al, brought up a really good point, is if you're to put Frank into the one-and-done category, or maybe even the 2 years and done category, and with all these schools bringing up guys that are just going to play in the program 1 or 2 years, that actually benefits Frank Jackson, because when there's that big of a scholarship turnover from year to year, it's kind of nice to stash a guy like Frank Jackson on a mission that when 2 years is up and 2018 rolls around, yeah, we got this guy right in our back pocket. Let's go. It's not an issue of, oh, man, we only have two offers and we still have to hold out this to the scholarship that we gave Frank Jackson. But no, we're going to have five or six that coming year or even more. So and that's a good argument to be made there, is that helps Frank in having schools be patient with him.
I just wonder what the protocols are for like exercise that these schools, like, say like a Duke, you know what I mean? Like, what are they going to be like trying to contact Frank more often than they probably should? Are they going to have correspondence with them, you know, with him more consistently?
Yeah,
they have to be worried about him going to like, you know, a third world country and getting some sort of a worm. I mean, really, I mean, it's an investment to them. And I'd say it's, they view it with more anxiety than a BYU views it.
Yeah. You'd think that. And that was the assumption I had. And I kind of wonder, he doesn't have an offer from Duke yet. He doesn't have that North Carolina offer. And I just wonder when it becomes real, where they really have to consider that, offering him, whether that's going to come in play. I think that's yet to play out. Just with that aspect. They say they're not, but when you get on campus and you really begin talking, maybe things change. I don't know. But the impression he has from Coach Krzyzewski, yeah, mission, cool. Well, I'm fine with that. Go on a mission, come back. We're good. But then it is kind of instructive that they haven't offered him yet. But we'll see. The feedback I get, and just kind of read between the lines, he's going to have that Duke offer. You kind of assume that's going to happen. So anyway, a lot to play out. We'll see it's going to be interesting. It's going to be real interesting. But what works to against BYU is he really seems to like the idea of just blazing a new trail and just going out, repping the church, doing all that on a national stage at a place like a Duke or maybe even in Arizona. He really seems to like that option, and it's just another thing BYU will have to fight against.
What do you think is BYU's best chance of getting Frank Jackson? What do you think is their best chance of getting him? Is it now? Is it maybe on a mission? What do you think?
I'm beginning to think that the best chance might come after a mission. But then again, I think those chances would have increased if he was a guy that was going to play a year, go on a mission, and then come back. Because what he's going to experience is still going to be real new. There's a lot of guys that go on a mission that they go to these other schools. And it's not, you just look at maybe like a Harvey Longy, and it's just like, yeah, I want something different. I want something new, and I don't think that's going to play as effectively with Frank going on his mission straight out of high school, in my opinion. But what I do think is going to help is just all the influences that are going to be at BYU when he gets back. That could play big, but man, that's a long way distant, and yeah, it's just going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
I just love the story in your article about the Chris Paul camp where, you know, Frank Jackson, I mean, he got early offers from BYU. He ends up committing. I remember the conversations that you had with Al, his father, and Al would ask you the question, do you really think that Frank's good? You know, it's like, he's good. Yeah, he's good. And he's got an offer from BYU. He's good. And then, but you start to realize that when he went to this Chris Paul camp, that he didn't know just how good he was. And he's competing with them and better than most of these guys, top 25 guards in the nation. And he's asking them, oh, where do you have offers? Oh, I have offers from Duke, North Carolina, U of A. He's like, what? Really? I'm better than you. And so he comes back from that, and I can understand him wanting to go through the recruiting process, right? I mean, how often are you wined and dined like this and just catered to? It doesn't happen all the time. I mean, for most of us, it never happens, okay?
Oh, it does not.
For most of us, like 99.9% of us in our lives, we're not going to have an experience like this. And so when people that haven't had this experience criticize a young man for decommitting when they have no idea what it's like, I'm sorry, I have no room for just sympathy when it comes to that. I mean, I will attack you because you are an idiot.
it's hard to just say, yeah, you should just not spurn all these official trips and just hold on to the commitment because you haven't been there. I totally understand what you're saying, and I completely agree with that.
It's just because, so, I mean, you really don't get those opportunities. Yeah. I mean, you never know. Frank could get injured or something like that. Like, why not see the world a little bit, have an experience, and, get wined and dined a little bit. Have them take you out on a trip. I'd love to go. Hey, I'll tell you what. You know, the ladies that I've dated throughout my life and my girlfriend right now, she loves it when I take her on a date, right? She likes to get all dressed up and nice and stuff. Then I pay for everything. We go to the theater, whatever. Look, guys like to be taken out to nice places too. Take me out to a steak.
We love to be the belle of the ball sometimes, Ben. Yeah,
I would love to be the belle of the ball. You can open up my door for me if you'd like. That would be fantastic. I don't want to open it up.
Yeah.
Brandon, do you like to be the belle of the ball?
I, Whenever I'm on your show, I feel like the bell of the ball.
You are the bell of the ball on this show, Grenade. Always dropping grenades of knowledge on all of us. Brandon Gurney from the Deseret News on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Anything else that you're working on that you can tease for us?
Oh, it's playoff time, so I spend all day covering 2A baseball. An interview I really enjoyed. I did an article on a baseball player. His name is Dylan Robinson. And when you're interviewing guys from a sport that's not as well known with baseball, I don't know many of the backstories. So you kind of go in just hoping for a good story and hoping they'd be forthcoming. And he ended up being very forthcoming. And he talked about how he played at Long Peak, and he was really good. He was a very good prospect. He was offered by BYU as a sophomore. He's a senior at BYU this season, by the way. And when he went to BYU, his plan was, you know, he was looking professionally, all that. And he really experienced some big-time difficulties at BYU and just talked about how he began to realize that baseball's not the most important thing and the things that the BYU has to offer outside of just the sporting programs really took the focus for him. And I think it's just a good example of a kid finding himself through a college experience and finding maybe not the direction that he intended, but finding what's ultimately a more rewarding direction. And it's just cool hearing stories like that from athletes that aren't as well known, but have gone through quite a bit of BYU. And I'm sure maybe you guys could perhaps relate and know teammates that could relate to that. But it's just an example of not what just BYU has to offer, but maybe just other college experiences. And so yeah, Dylan Robinson, a great representative of BYU and having a great senior year. So yeah, I enjoyed doing that story, and you can read it on the Deseret News.
There we have it. Brandon Gurney, appreciate it. As always, great insight into the life and experiences of Frank Jackson. Also, I'm glad that you like to be the bell of the ball as well. You are the bell of the ball when you're on this show.